The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
I'm Josh Peck.
And I'm Ben Soffer.
And we're the good guys. There's a lot of guys out there.
And we're the good ones.
Welcome to the Good Guys Podcast. We have Jake and Gareth here. Thank you guys
for
being here.
Thank you.
You're here to help, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh,
right. Yeah. Always on call. We didn't know, but we're ready to go.
Listen, these are two of the major, I would say, comedy duo podcasts in one room. This is like a think tank.
Yeah.
For everyone.
If this room explodes, the business will never be the same.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not in person. I need it to protect.
Oh, yeah.
I need
right.
it to protect the business. God forbid. God forbid there's a bomb threat at Dear Media. Needed to make sure the comedy was safe. I did it for you guys.
We're a bunch of artists here, but what should be known is Ben actually is a dentist. Yes, he's pre-dental. He graduated pre-dentistry with a minor in chemistry.
This is real. Oh, good on you.
Wow.
This is true. Yeah. I did decide not to be a dentist about 15 years ago, but the same way that Josh, you know, he's still fat drinking. Josh, you know,
I am.
Josh,
you look good, man.
You look good.
I'm giving you props.
These are
here.
Props.
And you're coming at me. And I'm like, you don't understand.
Yes.
Would you guys agree, as like true blue artists, that I find anyone who's got a civilian job?
I agree.
I wanted to say.
No, it's an actual skill. It's remarkable.
Yes.
Yeah.
It really is.
But it is funny. You went after him.
I did. Yeah. I saw an opportunity.
In those moments where we all, and we've all faced a bit of rejection here, let's be honest.
Good Lord, yeah.
In those tough moments, if you're like, I'm out of showbiz, what would you do? You ever toy with that idea? What do you think your backup plan would be?
Wait, which phase of the game?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because I was saying up here, when I was a valet, I was like making good money. It was an interest. Like, I'm all, in my back of my head, I'm always like, there's that.
Yeah.
Like, but that is not like a dental skill. But yeah, if it was more recent, I'd probably just dip right into writing. I'd probably just try to write my way out of it.
Which direction would you go?
I mean, I'm sure valet would be where I'd end, but I'd have the writing phase.
Right, as a valet.
Yeah, I'd be writing for a while, and I'd be like, well, I need money because the writing's not
working. I might have parked your car. It's a book by Gary Reynolds.
All right,
cool book, man. Who'd you park? Travolta's. I parked on Travolta's.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis's. No, were they nice? I got a chapter out of
it. There was eye contact.
Yeah, they didn't say hi. But I
said a lot of hi, so I covered for both.
You know what really speaks to me about being a valet? The level of steps you're going to get in a day.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
disagree.
Tens of thousands.
No, you work.
And if
absolutely.
You enjoy cars.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
then you do get to have the moment where you go like, well, look at this one.
That happened a lot, too.
You get to Ferris Bueller it a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, but sure. I would only take it like a block. But even in that block, I'd be like, whoa.
What a blast.
Yeah.
Did you ever, if you ever had someone who was shitty to you and you were taking their car, did you ever toot in their car? Did you ever... Mm.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it wasn't a revenge toot, but I'm sure it happened. I mean, you're parking a lot of cars.
Yeah,
the old park and fart, that probably happened. What would you do, Jake? What would you go back to?
I mean, at this point, I don't know.
Yeah.
But there were different phases. When I was younger, everything, we were talking about a little bit, but the beginning, it's really hit and miss, where you're playing this game, and I view it like poker. So, you know, I love playing cards, I love gambling, but once you run out of chips and your ATM says insufficient funds, you don't get to keep playing.
Yeah.
And so our business was just about like grinding and getting chips. And so it was always hit or miss. There would be a project where things were going good and money was coming, and then I would be dry for a while.
Yeah.
But now that I've worked for a while, if I stopped working now, I would fucking downsize my house, move to a second tier city, and live like a fucking king.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I'm like, but 10 years ago, then I would have had to do construction. And I would have wanted to, I always like building. I like the idea of like a game and a team.
Do you have experience in that?
Yeah, I grew up
doing it. Okay, yeah. I did it too, and I would not be, I was not good at it.
I wouldn't be top. I would be low man on totem pole.
Yes, that's what I was.
Yeah, taking orders.
Taking orders.
Having apologizing somebody, a lot.
Yeah. But having, doing a lot of bits. Which helps a crew a lot.
The funniest, I could definitely be the funniest guy, but the least skilled.
I was the guy who always had to do insulation.
Insulation, because
the worst job, and what you have to do is they cover your body in Vaseline, put you in a whole suit, everybody's teasing you, and then you have to do ceilings. So they'll like build a little bed for you.
At the end of the day, they're like, the Vaseline wasn't necessary.
Well, it kept those little fiberglass things out of your skin. But that role was for the least skilled, but the one we're after when you get drinks, the funniest stories.
Yes.
So that role was very clear. For $20 an hour, I'm like, I'm your guy. Cover me with Vaseline. I'm not going to bitch.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, you know, recently I was watching this guy who was delivering mail, this postman, and he was ripping cigs.
Nice.
He had some in his ears listening to our podcast.
Obviously, yeah.
Delivering mail.
You're not wrong.
Comfortable shoes, outdoors. I'm like, other than dogs, you got no issues.
Yeah, I had this with Amazon. I saw a guy blasting tunes with the Amazon truck with both doors were open. And we looked at each other and kind of had a laugh. And I thought, like, I get what your gig is.
Yes.
You're making over $100,000 a year zipping around, maybe stoned, maybe one gentle hit in the morning.
Maybe. But maybe. But they had to, like, pee and... jars and
to get the job.
Bezos is letting it slide.
Yeah, Bezos is definitely.
But the gig is you're driving around.
Yeah,
you're seen in a dress. You run out. You're in your own galaxy. You put it at the door. You take a photo. You're in the back of your truck. There's a world there. That's not a bad gig.
Job where you like. Well, I used to do kids' birthday parties, like dress up like superheroes for kids' parties, and it was fucking awful. But I was in my own world, and talk about being kind of stoned. I'd be like, whatever, I could handle it. And it was just very much my own little galaxy.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of like stress, but I was on my time, and I definitely felt
What,
some level of peace.
Give us the best and worst costumes that you had to wear. Like, who were the characters that you liked to play and hated?
The best would be a Spider-Man, because the thinnest layer of fabric, and so...
Very form-fitting.
That was the downside.
Yeah.
If I was going through, like, a gin phase, like, the kids would be like, what's up with Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's a lot of web.
You became Peter B. Parker.
Spider-Man's got a thyroid issue.
Yeah. As I shoot the web, and I'm, like, struggling to pull myself up. Like, geez, he's really gassed. And then the worst, I mean, there were crazy ones. There was ones like there was a Yu-Gi-Oh character called the Dark Magician that had like seriously a 4-foot like purple extension. I never, but I was like, why? But I couldn't walk anywhere. I would be like pelting kids with it when I was trying to get balloons for their party or whatever. They were mostly horrible outfits for the most part.
Etsy. It's cute. Look. Here's the truth. I love Etsy, and good guys listeners, I'm here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift, because now you can use Give Mode on Etsy. Give Mode on Etsy is here to take the stress out of gifting. So you can find the perfect item for anyone, any occasion, whether it's the jazz fan, the Zen seeker, the artist, the pasta lover. From 90s nostalgia, mixology to reality, TV, and gaming, there's something for everyone on Etsy. Look, I love Etsy because I love things that feel singular. You know what I mean? Like, I have friends who are like, you know, like the photographer, or plenty of friends who are the true crime fan or the bookworm. And it's like to know that I can get something specific that's not just like at every department store or every website that's going to be like, I don't know, it just feels like artisanal, because it is. It's crafted. It feels like you put thought into it. And I like supporting, you know, like small business. So a gifting moment is always around the corner, but whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, a holiday, or even just a day to say thank you, Gift Mode on Etsy has you covered. Gift Mode on Etsy is here to take the stress out of gifting. So need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy when? Right now. Etsy. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
I worked at the Hollywood Park Casino when I first lived in LA, and I played cards for a company's money. And as a guy who loves cards and as a guy who likes being around degenerates, that was a great day job.
Yeah. You're talking Ben's language. Ben, I know you got to, Ben loves.
You a card guy?
Love. Who doesn't? Absolutely love it. I was invited to a celebrity poker tournament as I know that just the dentist of the room, but I am a bit of a celebrity. I couldn't partake in it, unfortunately, but they offered to fly me out. Was very excited. A free $50,000 purse. Look at that. Yeah. Unfortunately,
Or does it go to charity?
No, winner, you take it. You take it. It was fantastic. I'll connect you. But yeah, love a good card game. Fantastic. Hold'em, is Hold'em your game?
I'll play them all, but Hold'em's the most popular one. It's an easy game to jump into. But in terms of New York, Mike Serra actually took me around some illegal games around the city.
Wow.
In New York that I've... yes.
And when he did the Sorkin movie.
Yeah, I bet I think you're totally right.
Yeah, Molly's game. Yeah,
so he and I used to play a bunch over at our friend Jeff Baena's house, and we were in New York. I was like, yeah, I'd love to play. I was doing press there or something. And I still remember going to some, like, you know, you buzz into some random apartment, and it's a whole floor in a building where there's probably like 12 games going on, a little gate where you buy in, random security with like one guy with a gun. And I was like, oh, great.
Wow.
I found a game like that in Atlanta once, too. In that era, I was like, oh, this is so fun. So if there was now like a couple of years ago, I fell out of this work. There is a whole world of money making that could be really fun.
I love you
fun.
Pitching your wife the comeback.
Are you good?
I'm a very good amateur.
You're a very good amateur.
So you could walk
into one of those games and you could walk out with money.
I could walk out with money or break even.
Or break even. That's good.
Yeah.
That's
and good. Then, but my cousin, Frank Rusnak, is a pro.
Wow.
And he's been in Vegas for years. It's how he makes his money. And when I used to play pre-kids all the time, we sat at a table together and I realized very quickly, there's a difference with being really good at like YMCA basketball and then playing with professionals. And you're like, oh, it is. There are layers to this game. Because I was like, he knew what I had each hand by the way I was playing it. And I did not know what he had.
Mm. Wow. Jealous.
Wow.
There are those games all over the city, everywhere.
Yes.
It's like just underground games, people winning and losing millions of dollars. It's
totally.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I once had a romantic interlude with a girl who dated both Phil Ivey and David Copperfield. And
wow.
I was like, babe, you are getting the third worst celebrity right now.
Wow.
And I'm incredibly sorry for you.
How does everybody know the name Phil Ivey? Even if you're not like a fan of poker, I feel like Phil Ivey became unbelievably famous.
It was like that 5-year phase where ESPN was
crazy.
Like, yeah, and we were all like, yeah. Then you knew like Phil Hellmuth, weirdos that you were like, I'm a huge Hellmuth head.
Yeah. It became a whole moment.
Who was the guy with the long hair? What was his name?
They called him Jesus?
Yeah.
I want to say Chris Ferguson, but it could be wrong.
You might be right, though.
Yes. It's somewhere right near that name.
I think it might be wrong, but that is right.
So ESPN hammered World Series of Poker for a solid 3-year period. Hammered.
And those dorky announcers, you're like, ugh.
So walk me through that, Josh.
Yeah.
You meet a woman.
Yeah.
How does that come and how does she go from Copperfield to, like, who is this human?
She works in nightclubs.
Okay.
Yeah. And how was the meet and greet and what was your confidence? How did you go from club to home?
She made it clear that it was happening.
Oh, wow.
Walk us through, please.
You're
at a club in Vegas?
No, in LA.
Okay.
But apparently she moonlit in Vegas.
Amazing.
And she only had really nice things to say.
Okay.
But yeah, it just became around that time, 2 a.m. when the clubs closed in L.A. And she was like, where are you going? Because I'm coming.
Wow.
And, like, that's how it would have to happen with someone like me. Because otherwise I would have been like, it was nice meeting you. And I hope that
exchange information. Perhaps we can bond together.
Are you
on Vine? Yes, exactly. That would be similar.
Yeah. So we swapped each other's Vine addresses. And
perhaps we can collaborate. She's like, no, we're having sex tonight. Oh, wonderful.
I have another 8-second project I'm offering.
Oh, so the king of mine.
It was, and she starts telling me about all these people, and I'm like, well, this is never going to happen more than once.
Right.
Because I can't be, like, part of this trio of celebrity.
Yeah.
But she only had really nice things to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say, of all the people I'd be intimidated by, you imagine hooking up with a girl where she's been with this athlete or that, celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
After Copperfield, a magic man? He's great. I have respect for. I saw his live show. My brother and I went. We saw him in Blue and this all this madness he's doing. He has a little alien appear. He does this whole like ET show.
Yeah,
where,
yeah.
For real.
I'm like his little alien.
Yeah, but at the end, like he's got this little guy where you're like, this shit ain't magic. It's the Muppets. Right. It's just a little guy in blue who's like, I'm going home, David. And my brother and I are looking at each other. We're like, what's the magic? What's happening here? And then a caller is going to, it's cool. Like, sure, you're
sounds
into the
cool.
Show, but you're kind of. No disrespect. I can't do it, but I was a little bit like, what is this?
Yeah.
Now, I get you make a lot of money, you do that. But if I found out a woman I was with, she was like, I just rolled out of bed with Copperfield. You know, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I wasn't too intimidated.
That's not too scary.
And I know some sleight of hand.
Yeah.
So
it was like,
yeah, right.
I can make this disappear.
And I have.
Because I once went to dinner randomly. I was at a dinner with David Blaine, speaking of famous magic men.
Wow.
Yeah. And I grew up being a massive fan of him.
Yeah.
Like a total chubby New York kid, loves magic, loves all the things. And then also he was like a New York kid, like raised by a single mom. I just overly identified with him. And so then I'm finally at dinner with him and he's doing the tricks.
To you.
To everyone.
So he just does the tricks.
And I go, what are you running from, David?
Yeah. I was just thinking.
Like, a little
bit. At dinner, you know, sometimes just have a meal.
It was disappointing. I'm like, why don't you eat the piccata in front of you and
he
stop?
He slowed the fork through his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. The funny thing about a guy like that is that they are just tricks.
Yeah.
So the one thing I didn't get, because the Blaine movement was incredible to watch from the outside.
Oh, yeah.
I have no links to him. I'm not part of the Leo group, whenever they all like ran around in the clubs. That whole world is 10 miles away. Who knows what they're doing? But his originally, it was like cool magic, and then it was like laying in an ice cube.
Yes.
And that era of David Blaine, I was like, what are you doing, homeboy? Where he's like, I'm going to stand in a box 500 feet in the air and just be in here for 3 days.
Lose my mind in front of the city.
I'm like, I'm not convinced this shit's magic.
I don't think
difficult.
That stuff was. I think that was just him,
I think
like,
just
this
endurance.
Is hell. Yeah, it was endurance.
Endurance.
But like, that's his magic turned into, I want to impress you so bad that I'm just going to do something that is, I'm going to just lay in ice. And you would go, that's a long time in ice while like New Yorkers are just walking over you.
Right.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to lay in the middle of New
People
York.
People be going to see him like, wow, he's really suffering.
That
in
fucking
there.
Dude is freezing.
Yeah, look at him.
See you later, David.
He's mouthing
Blaine.
Help.
And then he came out. I remember when he came out.
The pioneer of cold plunging.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
But
he came
out of one, I remember he was like all weak.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember they like put blankets on him and an ambulance came and I went like...
Growing up in the city, did you ever go visit any of these stunts when he was like in Rockefeller Center or whatever?
Oh, no. I stay very, very far away and always did from any stunts. Anything.
Yeah.
Especially like the biggest stunt, biggest spectacle would be New Year's. The ball drops. Couldn't be further away from that.
Yeah,
honestly, when you were talking about before that you wear these costumes, I thought of all the scary Spider-Men that sit in Times Square.
Yeah.
And God forbid you see them remove their mask.
Oh, yeah.
Because then
all of
a sudden, all the fun is over.
There's a great documentary about it, about Hollywood
crazy.
Boulevard. You know what I'm talking about? Do you remember the name or no?
I don't remember the name.
Like behind
but you
the
can find
it could be behind. It's but it's all about those guys in Hollywood Boulevard who dress it.
Because they're hustlers.
Kind
well,
of.
And they're,
they're aggressive.
Yes,
yeah,
there's a lot of,
there's,
I mean, not all
pieces.
Of them, not all, but there's some demons that
are
being covered with masks.
A lot of them are the, what are you running from, David?
I think at one point Superman looks into the camera and says, you know what it's like when you're really high on speed and you can't stop talking? And everyone's like, yes.
Which
all right, Superman.
Is the intro to our podcast. We're here to help.
Hey,
you know what we
he
intro every episode with that these days.
Yeah.
You know what it's like when you're really high on speed? Hi, we're here to help.
Give us a little background on We're Here to Help because this is going to actually be a wonderful collab episode. So our episodes will air the same day.
Yeah.
I
Love
was
it.
On their pod recently.
Great.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
So there'll be lots of.
What was that?
I think
mine
it's just
does
a Zoom
that too.
Thing.
It's an update. Mine
really?
Does that.
That
yeah,
was cool.
How. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
But go
you guys
listen
saw
to their
that,
podcast
right?
and update your Zoom as well.
Yes.
That was crazy.
Yes.
That happened with Gareth on one of those, I remember. Yeah. We were having a meeting.
One time it started raining on my Zoom, and I was like, I don't know. People are like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, it's just, I did something.
When it is a somewhat serious meeting, and you're not supposed to be doing jokes.
And you just look like an idiot. I mean, I do our podcast from home with a picture of my cat behind me, so it's not a great start. But then someone looks in, like, window four, and they're like, is that raining in that guy's little weird window over there? I'm like, I waved. I'm sorry. I overwaved.
It's tanning in my duplex.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Well, the backstory is basically we've been friends for coming up on like 20 years or 15 years. There was a lot of advice giving when we were trying to get our footing in the entertainment business.
We really started at the same time.
Yeah.
And we were at improv theaters together.
Doing commercials.
Commercial and headshots.
And so.
Co-stars.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of sitting in bars going like, because Gareth and I had the similar role in each of our groups. So then we would get together and we would always be able to say, like, we would see each other in an audition and he would go like, I got that one. And I would be like, we weren't competitive. We wanted the same stuff, but we could say like, what'd you do?
Yeah.
And he's like, I let out. I was aggressive. I was like, oh, I was shy. So that kind of talk was the beginning.
And angling. Like, Jake was always a guy who was always angling, and we would talk about angles and we would talk about what we should do and shit like that. And so that was just there. Like, constant advice to each other was always there. And then as our careers changed, Jake decided to get really famous. I decided to go a little more subtle route.
Both of us, these are choices.
Yeah,
these are
angles. I could have done it.
But it's not over till it's over. We're both
in the
game.
It's over. It is over. But I always knew, like, as I was doing podcasts and more stand-up and shit, I was just like, yeah, Jake would be so good at a podcast. And then the idea just kind of came about. And
it was his idea.
Yeah. And it was just like, but I was like, you'll be so good at it. And immediately we were like, oh yeah, this is.
To kiss Gareth's ass a little bit. And Steve Berg and I talk about it, but Gareth is in the best ways like a cockroach. And I view myself in the same way. Mm. And we talk about the business where you go, well, what else would you do? Well, the real question is nothing. I'll try to find a way back in. And same with Gareth. So Gareth.
Try to find a more.
You know, he'll do these bits, but, you know, he's a high-level EP writer. He was on Arrested Development. He'll get gigs that way. And whatever path he starts going, he'll see it drying up before others and then make, like, a really weird right-hand turn. Where you're like, you're doing stand-up. Like, when you started stand-up, we were too old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're in our 40s now.
I started old.
So he was like 10 years older than all the other stand-ups doing open mics.
It was awkward.
And Gareth, don't worry, because people call Ben and I cockroaches, but it's because we're Jews.
Yeah, no.
So don't feel.
True.
I've seen the comments.
Yeah, it's all.
Yeah, no, it's different. I thought it was
Gareth
like,
has
oh, you're
written the comments.
He's Mr. Anonymous.
No, I get it.
I thought we were pals. You seem like a Farrakhan guy.
I'm huge.
And you do, because we're going to get to a segment where we take voicemails in the form of speak pipes from our followers. Mm-hmm. The morons are their names.
Yeah, yeah.
And
we're
they
familiar.
Ask for advice. But you guys do live calls for advice, which I think is cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's key for. So when Gareth pitched me this idea, I'd been wanting to do a podcast for a while, but I didn't quite get the right format of why doing it. And when he pitched this, the fun of it is that the third person is a huge part of our game. Yeah. And so if they're really fun, then it's like when you go out and you meet somebody and they happen to have a great vibe or a great story, it charges up the whole group. So our game is we have different roles in doing it, but we're trying to make the caller really score.
Yes.
Because the deeper we get in, we're on their team, but they always end up revealing something at like minute 8 that we all crack up about.
Yeah, that was kind of the thinking was like, I mean, I remember when I would, you know, talk about going to these auditions and stuff, you would just listen to like some weird call-in radio show. And I would just be like an hour into some weird guy. And I'd be like, well, I got to hear how this ends with this guy calling into a show.
Right.
And then the idea was that, like, you know, someone might have a problem or a question, but we can keep digging and go, wait, what is going on?
Well, now you also have to defend yourself against Stavros.
But it's, it's so nice because at least you get context. Like for us, we'll get a speak pipe. Somebody will ask for advice. Yeah. We have no idea if they're 20 or 47, single or married. Where do they live?
So
socioeconomic status. You can't give proper advice without a laundry list of who they are.
But also, yes and that, but also.
It's the old improv coming out.
What's that? Yes,
yes
and?
Yes and, yeah. Good work.
Thank you. It just also makes it so much more fun hearing more about him. Because what I would get bored of podcasts is I love Garf, but I never want to do a podcast where we're just literally going like, what's next? It's us again.
Yeah.
So the caller breaks up the us of it all.
Yes.
So they'll be saying something and then Gareth will be pitching on it. And I've never heard this take because she's bringing it out of them.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to talk about yourself, it's applicable. Yes. So it's like a story about your life. You know?
To try to get in.
Nutrafol, Nutrafol. Do you have thinning hair? Well, you don't need to have it anymore. Are you embarrassed? Are you ashamed? Are you feeling a little like it's a taboo thing to bring up with your friends? Well, you shouldn't, because the truth is, so many of us are going through it, and Nutrafol knows that. Whether you're going through hair thinning, shedding, you're having issues, or you just want to take a proactive approach to your hair needs, Nutrafol is there. It has a clinically effective formula, and it's not going to impact you negatively. It doesn't compromise sexual performance, because listen, spoiler alert, some of these other pills, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but no fun, okay? And with Nutrafol, they've seen improved hair growth, decreased shedding, and visible thickness while taking it. Now, you take 4 pills a day with a meal, and look, hair thinning is complicated. The problem is that it's actually much bigger than your hair alone, but Nutrafol is going to get down to the root cause, pun intended, because it's the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. You'll just take their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com and you'll get a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code GOODGUYS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code GOODGUYS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code GOODGUYS.
You were mentioning auditions. Can we quickly fire off our worst audition stories?
Yes. You go first. Okay. You got one?
I have one that's crippling.
I got one too that's humiliating.
I also can hurt.
I auditioned for a show. It was, remember that show Magic City?
Give me a little bit more.
It was a show about Jew mobsters in the 50s in Miami.
Ooh.
Done. Check the box.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Right.
What's my call time?
Yeah. Yeah. What network?
It was on like Stars or something.
Interesting.
I take whole issue with the show because the lead was Jeffrey Dean Morgan. That's like having, you know, that's like having John Lovitz as a star of The Sopranos. That's crazy. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, he's an Irish god. He's good. Yeah. The best dude ever. No issue with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, but maybe not a Jew
from
Miami.
I really want to see the Lovitz Sopranos now more than
me
ever.
Me too. So bad. I'm a guest star.
I'll fucking beat your head in. AJ, what the fuck?
You crossed the wrong guy.
Lovitz did something. He came on New Girl, and he had the best bit of anyone I've ever had on that or saw. His whole thing was that he was being treated poorly. And everything was, I don't have enough lines. And we were all egging him on. And then he goes, you've got this all wrong. I'm two things and you haven't thought of. First of all, I'm your guest. Second, I'm the star. He goes, you guys are putting guest star together, but they are separate sentences. I am your guest. I should be treated like that. And I am your star. And we were all just like, what a great way to say guest star.
What a legend.
But keep going, keep going.
I love it.
So fast. Magic City, so they call me. They're like, they really like you. They just want to meet. They don't even want you to read. I'm like, gorgeous.
Yeah.
They're like, but they would like you to wear something like of the period slightly. So just nothing too modern. They just kind of want to see like just how you would look believable of a guy in the 50s. I'm like, bet. So I wear some sort of non-breathable fabric.
Oh, like, boy.
Dress shirt, pretty tight.
Oh, dear.
Tight. Uh-oh. You know what I'm saying?
How's the bod in this phase?
Good. Okay. I mean, good enough.
Okay. Yeah.
Could be better.
Sure. We're all there, but okay.
But sometimes when I wear tight shirts, I'm in a better phase, and other times I'm like, this same tight shirt doesn't want to button up.
Yeah.
Well, this tight shirt just was not breathable at all.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm on a dry run, right? It's been like 10 months without working, so I'm not Captain Confident, right?
Right.
And there's no air in the room.
Oh, dear.
So I'm sitting, and it's like a pale, almost, I would call it a lilac color, the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Really shows moisture.
Sure.
We're talking 30 minutes
feels
in.
Feels like that's an important detail to us.
45 minutes in. I know I'm sweating, but I don't know how bad.
Oh, God. Okay?
But I'm not face sweating, but my body is drenched. Mm. I can feel it. So I walk out of the room 50 minutes in, and I go into the bathroom. I kid you not, it looks like a Venn diagram on my chest of moisture. It's soaking wet from my clavicle down to my belly button. And there's just one thin space down my sternum that's dry, but the shirt is sopping. Like I've been running a marathon. And I think that I was sitting there for 50 minutes and they saw it and no one said anything. And it's the
worst.
Is
that why they wanted the actors to try on the clothes?
But I mean
it. No, because stop.
I don't get why they would say we'll for see. A meeting. But I mean it. Like, could you imagine? It's just a meeting. Mm. I assume wardrobe is going to make every actor look right. But they said on this one, dress in the 50s clothes. And on this, because when you said that example, I didn't get it. But maybe it's like 50s
you're
clothes.
Set up.
They don't breathe. Let's see how these bodies do I don't know.
That makes me feel bad.
We're not looking for the most talented, but the least sweaty. We're going in that direction.
Why would they ever say dress the part, but you're not
auditioning? Yeah, but what was the fabric you wore?
Just like probably a gabardine. No, I don't know. It's something thick. Like
hot and sweaty.
It just was not athleisure wear.
Yeah.
It was not smart fiber. There was no wicking happening.
Yeah.
But like,
oh my
God. It was one of those moments where I called my mom on the way home, 23 years old, like in a half cry. I just don't know why I continue to do this.
The tears don't even show up on the shirt anymore. It's so wet.
It's a mean business.
It's
a mean business.
What do you guys got quick? I'm feeling very alone.
I got a bad one. It was for Kath and Kim, remember when that one came around?
No.
You don't remember that?
It's so funny hearing all these shows. No, I know.
And Kim was like a big...
Oh!
Mikey Day ended up getting it. It didn't go, but there was a moment. It was like a huge show in Australia.
Okay.
And then I think it was like Alison Jones.
Yeah, I do remember this. Yes.
And it went around where they're like, they're seeing all like the funny people. Mm. And that was a time I wasn't getting big auditions, but it was like all the improv people could get a shot. So I was like, fuck yes. And I went to the audition and everybody I kind of knew was there. So sometimes in the waiting room, it's like bit central. And I loved it. And everybody's loosening up doing bits. Edelstein was there.
Yeah, that's good.
And we're all, he's like, brother, you and me are getting it. I'm like, fuck yes, man.
I'm Kath, you're Kim.
And every actor in there is in there for like a real time 20 minutes.
Ugh.
And that's why there was such a big wait. Because they were really working the actors. But as an actor... Especially they said it's going to be improv. Great. I could actually book this job. If they let me get past my nerves and I can do it and I can get loose, I don't know. So I'm waiting. Everyone's coming up being like, they're so fucking nice. Have fun. They're so nice. I'm like, great. Feeling good. Doing so many bits. King bits. Then they go, Jake, and I literally do something probably hacky like, I do, you know? Turn the corner and walk in. Confidence, 10 out of 10. I'm not sure I'm going to get it. I'm like, this is how you should feel at an audition. There were three scenes. They go, all right, Jake, you all set? I'm like, absolutely. I do half the first page and they go, thank you so much. Because of all the bits, I laughed. Like, oh, you just did the mean joke. I like a good mean joke. You murdered me. I went like, all right, nice. There's a pause. They're dead serious. I go, no more. And they said, thank you so much. That was great, Jake. I didn't even finish the scene.
Oh,
I walk out, but because it was so fast and I left doing a bit, all my friends laughed. As if I pulled the best bit of all time. And that is like, I'll see you guys in a second. See you on set. Walk in, slam the door, open the door and go like, all right, everybody. There's laughter. Everyone's kind of doing like, oh, that was fast. What's going on? And I had to go like... Not a bit, everybody, and good luck in there. And I had to do the walk of shame, but the vibe
Jake,
was...
Jake, that door doesn't open. Cool.
They were giving me, like, the I'm doing the Andy Kaufman bit. Everybody was waiting for me to turn and finish. And when I walked out and got in the elevator, I'm like, they're going to have a huge laugh when they call the next person. And I just had to, like, get in the car and be like, what the fuck did I do?
Wow.
What's wrong?
Do you have
and
any
idea
with some time?
No. Just, I mean, probably too cocky, probably too
still,
loose.
And
probably,
everyone's getting 20.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know.
They were very displeased.
Then I thought it was going to be somebody like, oh, they wanted like a Gosling. But then it was like Mikey Day.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you're in the universe.
I was like, yeah, look.
Yeah.
He's a funny dude, but we're not talking about the
maybe they just realized that if they kept giving 20 minutes to each person, they'd never get out of there.
I think you're right, and they knew I wasn't the guy.
They were just going over, and it was just unfortunate timing. I don't think it was anything you did.
I don't agree.
That is
nothing you did wrong. So that's one take. Garfman, your take?
Jake, you're great, but not for everyone. And we've known that for a long time.
And they definitely knew it.
Yeah, they knew for sure.
What's your story, Garf? What do you got?
There's thousands.
1995. 2002. No. When does this one end? 2006.
So it's actually not over yet.
Yeah, winter 2006.
I have so many that are terrible, but one was, I used to have to go in for like sketch shows. And they would always ask you to like come up with characters and shit. And that always felt particularly stressful when you kind of had to write the audition to some extent. So I don't remember what the sketch show was. I don't think it ever did anything, but whatever. I had my characters that I was going in with. And it was right when David Hasselhoff, the viral video of him eating the cheeseburger off the ground, which ended up being like a sad moment.
Not at first.
Yeah.
Sure.
So this is
not
incredible. This is
fat pig.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So this is
excellent.
So this is what we were all like.
Oh,
that
you're saying
was,
bad. Yeah, bad. Yeah,
excellent. Bad.
Excellent. Yeah. But really watchable.
So very
and
watchable.
Honestly made me hungry and want to drink.
Well, and in good shape. Still in good shape.
Handsome.
The Hoff.
Well, he was definitely... Okay, so my plan was, all right, I'll just capitalize on that viral moment. And so I thought I'll do a Hasselhoff impression too. So I got a Wendy's cheeseburger, which is what
like
he was eating on the way to the audition. And whatever, I was waiting in the waiting room or whatever. And then I go in, I'm bombing as one would on a sketch audition, but I'm like...
As one would?
I'm like, I got that.
As all do?
As everyone was. I was like, I got the Hasselhoff. And then, so they're like, okay, what else? You know, and I was like, all right, this is my last one. And I laid on the ground, I took my shirt off, and I was in horrendous shape at the time. And I just started, you know, saying the thing. I don't remember what he was saying, but I just started, like, saying the things. And then I, like, take the burger out, and I'm, like, eating the burger off the ground, saying stuff. And I'm just watching, like, three people kind of feel nervous and anxious, and I'm, like, halfway through it, like, am I not eating this funny enough? So I'm, like, sloppy and all that. And I said that I'm going to do a David Hasselhoff impression. Then I get on the ground, I eat a burger off the floor for about 5 to 6 minutes, saying catchphrases, and nobody is laughing. And then I get up, and they were like, how is that a David Hasselhoff impression? And I go, have you seen the video where he's drunk? And they're like, no. And I was like, oh, well, that's really important to what I just did for you guys to experience that. And then I like had to pick like beef chunks off out of the carpet and like kind of clean
thank
it up.
Thank you guys so much.
I had like
me.
Ketchup on my side. And then I like had to leave and I was driving home just like, that's a low. That is brutal.
I had to do a sketch thing where I did three characters and it was Eric and Derek Waters. All these guys had a manager named Dave Sheridan.
Mm-hmm.
And they said like, hey, maybe you could meet with Sheridan. He'll get you commercially this and that. So I went to his little apartment in Hollywood. In his little studio, I did my three characters for him on a couch, which is really shameful. Really,
tough.
Especially when they're not laughing.
At his house.
And I'm like the trolley bond, blah, blah. And I'm like in the middle of it being like, trolley man ain't working. But I still have another minute and a half.
And you also got to be like, maybe trolley man hits if I commit.
Well, you have to commit.
Yes.
And so I had one where I was like a little boy alcohol. I had all these characters and they just weren't hitting. And afterwards it finishes and it's shameful. You know, like I had a little change of clothes. So I was wearing like a tight t-shirt from one of the characters.
Ugh.
And then afterwards I was like, so that's basically it, but I'm also a writer. And he goes, you know, I've been doing this for a while and you can tell somebody right away. And he goes, you just don't have it, man.
Oh.
And I had to go like, well, definitely thank you for taking the time to see me.
Does trolley man have it? Jake, get out.
Let me collect my things and trolley man's out.
Ben, is there any version of this in like the normal world?
I was trying to think that because obviously I haven't auditioned. I own an alcohol company, which Josh, you should get them some Spritz Society.
Of course.
Ooh, yeah.
I'll pitch investors all the time.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty similar, very sad process sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I gave our product to, he was probably in his mid-60s, took a sip, looked at me and said, why can't you make a product that tastes good?
Wow.
And that was just a shot to the heart.
Yeah,
it's like, we did, man. We did. It tastes great. But yeah, there's no other real... I cook. I make memes. I'm more of a socialite celebrity. I don't really audition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
that's
it's
tough.
Not a...
That's
Josh,
a,
maybe we need to get me an
move.
Audition and just see how sad it would be.
I'll pitch you all day, babe. What do you want?
Yeah,
what are you feeling? Marvel? Are we thinking Skywalker?
John Lovitz is redoing The Sopranos.
I think maybe we start with SVU. Can I be like a sad, it's like something in SVU.
Yeah.
Why don't you take your shirt off and eat off the floor? Something happens to my mom.
I'm like in my mid-30s in my room crying. And I don't know, something with Olivia Benson.
Growing up in New York, it is fascinating how every, working actor, and you ever see them on the street, you'd be like, you did criminal intent. Yes. You were a drug addict. And oh, like, yes. Yeah, I was on SVU. I was, you know, a predator. Like, everyone has done.
One thing I do want to say, though, about the auditions in that process of this game that I feel like is going away a little bit in the new YouTube era and everybody, this being the studio, which is something I really like about the new world. But what I like about the generation that we had to do and that the people did before us is you had to dance for your money and you had to get kicked in the teeth. And you had to keep going and keep failing to figure out what you wanted to do. And you really created your tone by like failing and where the gold was. And I do feel like that is going away a little bit.
Definitely different.
It's different. But like that old world of like, you know, our industry, when we came in, you can connect it to like going back in time, how actors always did this since like for 60, 70 years.
Yeah.
There's a game you wanted to do. You're not invited to the club. You got like, you're standing outside of the club. You're trying to get ready. You go up. They didn't like you, kid. Yeah. Why? Because you do this. You change that. You go back. They don't like you. You go back. You go back. You fail so many times that when you succeed, you just get through like one layer. When you're talking about like the, I like the angles. That part of the game is my favorite. That you like, you lose when you don't like, well, that's fun. When nine people tell you no in a row, it might be you.
Yeah.
I think you still need to play that game today, though. I think that like somebody that's just starting online, they're going to be told you are not funny until they reach their audience that tells them that they're funny.
Yeah, that's true.
Or they could change, of course. But like, I feel like,
I hear what you're saying. That the audience is that gatekeeper.
Gatekeeper. And then what makes it even worse is that because you were never supposed to be an actor in the first place, the audience is your gatekeeper. You finally find that moment. You want to use your celebrity to do something traditional. And then you need to go in front of traditional gatekeepers again.
Yeah,
so really
it just adds
like a whole new layer of gatekeeping. These kids are screwed.
Well, that's interesting. I hear what you're saying about the audience being the gatekeeper.
It's interesting, right? Because Ben's wife has like one of the biggest podcasts. She sold out the theater at Madison Square Garden.
Good Lord.
Like, and yet Ben will share how like, and yet still she'll have to like prove herself to, in quotes, the old guard because she maybe didn't come up through the traditional system.
It's
right?
Similar to stand-ups.
Yeah.
A stand-up could be selling out tours. And then if they want to do something on television or on movies, you have to go like, well, are you ready for that?
Right.
And you go like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm selling out tours.
But it's just interesting how you need to regain the respect of people that you probably don't need their respect at all.
Yeah.
Like the traditional game doesn't, like the goal of comedy, if we're talking about comedy and stand-up, you go to the clubs to create an audience, right? So that you can sell tickets. But if you have the ability already to sell tickets and you've worked on your stand-up in front of millions of people online for a very long time, bring it to tour. It's just funny that the old traditional model still needs the blood, sweat, and tears that you really don't need. Yeah. You don't need to bomb in a comedy club if you didn't have to. Yeah. It's really nice.
It's interesting.
So that was the way that it happened. But I think that people have such chips on their shoulder because sometimes it's perceived as it was easier, right?
The stand-up part of it, I think a lot of times because I think a lot of what you're saying is right, the stand-up part of it still is, there are people who will have big followings who try to pursue stand-up and they will not be ready for that performance, you know? And you see, that happens a lot where like, they might even be selling out the club and, you know, or the venue or whatever it is, but it won't sustain in that realm too long because the product isn't as good in that version.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but also going off of that, because it's interesting. So like, I know when I started testing for TV shows as an actor, they create a world for the test that is so nerve-wracking.
The worst.
Totally.
But unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I didn't do multicam. So if you're doing multicam, you should have to perform on a little stage in front of every executive.
Because you're going to be in front of an audience.
Because you're going to be in front of a live audience. But I did single cam, which is like a movie. And so when I tested, all the auditions are a room like this. And the other actors there's a few people in chairs. You get comfortable. You talk.
Mm.
They ask you questions. You're able to ask questions. Everyone gets loose. And then you do the scene.
Yeah.
But then when you test, when I tested at 20th, there was like a little theater. And all the executives are sitting in like power seats.
Been there.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I've been in that room.
Yeah. Wow. The same executives too.
Yeah.
And so then you're sitting in the hallway. The walls are so thin that Dan Levy and Ryan Gold, our friends, I hear their audition.
Ugh.
So I'm hearing our friend Ryan Gall, who's a fucking murderer. as funny as a person gets.
Yes.
When Gall gets cooking.
And books a ton of stuff.
Because he's a killer. Works but a when ton. Gall gets cooking, you're like, and we knew him from like the, he was at the Kath and Kim type audition. Yeah. He's a groundling. He's a murderer. I'm sitting in this room. I'm listening to him slay. My manager texts, how's it going? And I literally text back, I'm hearing the guy getting the job right now. Then you get called in. There's no small talk for some reason. They go like, the casting guy, Seth, goes like, they're ready for you, Jake. I'm walking into my fucking death. You get up there, it's quiet. And then they go, hi. And then like the showrunner's like, whenever you're ready. You're like, I want
so scary.
To. So scary.
Yeah.
How many great talents do you think they've missed because
Tons.
Of how scary
Countless.
It is?
The timing has to be right in your favor for those things as well. To what you're saying, if you're hearing someone else crush, that's you're probably not ready to give your best.
Yeah. But that's part of the game. That, go ahead.
But, well, there's a game to it, too, and I've been on both sides of it. Because many times, if it's down to three, there probably already is a decision. Someone's already won.
Right.
But you have to go through the process.
Because somebody is also not sure if the person somebody else wanted is right.
Yes. And or they've just literally, and I've been on this side, I've been the guy, rarely, but you kind of know it because you'll get a call the day before. Yep. They'll kind of nudge like it's yours. We just have to go through the process.
We would like it to be you. I've also been the other guy.
I've been the other guy where they're like, we're just bringing you in to show that it's this other guy.
Yes.
And it's so harsh because you've made a deal.
Yes.
You look at the number.
Actually,
you know what your next year could
that
look
is kind
like.
Of the worst thing in a way because you actually now are processing the level of money you could be making if this happens.
13 times that gets fast.
And that is in your head a little bit too. Yeah, where you're like, that would be crazy.
But I do agree with you that it's unnecessary and that there is obviously you can skip that. But having gone through it, there is something where I'm like, well, I would like if. You know, if somebody who is a stand-up but has never acted, put him in front of that.
Right.
Like, put him in front of that moment, and it could be the spot where you're probably the one, but just do the dance that has been going on for 50 years.
Yeah.
And then, but the problem is now, and then we'll put you on Roku or whatever it is,
yeah.
which is all new.
Shout out Roku. I have a show on Roku coming out in a couple months.
You've always been really funny, man.
Thanks.
I went through that show. I didn't have cable growing up. So I missed all cable, but we do now in the world of streaming with my kids. So I have now caught up on a lot of, like, I didn't even really know what Nickelodeon was.
Ugh.
Right.
They're like, but like certain kids who grew up with it knew it. But I was like, we didn't have that. We had Saturday morning cartoons on NBC, but you were always a funny guy, man.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard to be funny when you're young and then funny as you're older and keep, you know, in terms of liking the angles.
It's funny. I remember when I was doing that show, Grandfathered with Stamos, he said something to me that in the moment really hurt me, but he turned out to be so right. And he wasn't trying to be. It was just when the truth is letting you in on something you're not ready to accept yet. And he was like, I think you're figuring out what makes you funny as an adult. And I was like, babe, these jokes have gotten me real far.
Totally.
Maybe you want to keep that to yourself. Yeah. Stamos. I was like,
thanks, John. Yeah. I think I'll
good
handle.
Looking. Cool.
Yeah. Good luck on Vine, John. Let's see how you fare. But I was thinking about New Girl and like, it's so, I would almost say impossible, right? I was just, if you just think about the guys in the show, like you, Max, and Lamorne have gone on to be incredibly successful and done like cool projects all in your own lane. That's so rare for three leads to come off of.
Totally.
And obviously Zoe's always been in her own orbit and
crushing
it. And
Hannah's now killing it too.
That's gotta be a cool feeling.
Yeah, it is a cool feeling.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's also, I think we all like each other. And I think when you go through an experience that is as intense as that is, especially for the three guys, you know, Zoe was different because she was our boss. Mm. So she was the EP. She had already done a lot. But Max's story is, I know he had like tested for like 17 shows, hadn't gotten it. And by the time we met, he was already like, I think it's done. Lamorne was just starting. And you could kind of tell like, you're going to have a big thing. It just might not be right now.
Yeah.
And mine was, I'm getting really ready to go back into like the commercial world and go on like my weird phase. Mm. So when we all started getting that and it started to hit, we all experienced celebrity together. We experienced our first big checks together. So we got to go through that together and they became our, we would have huge talks. Mm. So everybody's rise, I'm kind of like, well, yeah, I heard your thoughts on it. Like we've talked about it. And so it's nothing but really lovely. It's like, it's honestly a group that the whole world refound it during the pandemic, that show, which has been really fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll always kind of be connected. We've all turned into like a weird version of cousins. And like Lamorne, who's come on our show so often, he's starting his own podcast. The Morning After or something like that.
Yeah, that's
good
what
name.
It is.
Damn it. Yeah, it's a great name.
It's a great
but
name.
Like, you know, in terms of that, like Lamorne's a guy the way Gareth and I would, you know, talk and strategize. Well, he calls up and he's like, I'm starting mine, come on mine. And then I used your technique.
Yeah.
And I said, here's what we're gonna do. Come on ours, we're gonna release at the same time. And we'll just tell all our audience to go listen to yours and get your numbers.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, fun.
Yes.
And then I'm like working on a project this summer in Chicago. And I'm talking to Lamorne and I'm like, maybe we just fucking do it together. And you start building that thing of, oh, this game now is not what it used to be. There's so many projects. There's so much that I'm like, oh, I could work with Lamorne on like five more things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a cool thing of having an old co-star. All the shorthand's there. We already know our roles. We now are figuring out our roles in the podcast, how we do things. Those guys I have 7 years with. So like, we just know the shorthand. Zoe showing up for my movie, the premiere night, she just popped in. I couldn't believe she came because it was a Tuesday night. But we like looked at each other, gave each other a big hug, smiled, took a photo. I thanked her. She was gone 20 minutes later.
Perfect.
But I'm like, that's 7 years and her going, fucking guy finally directed his weirdo movie. I'm going to go take the photo with him. That's going to be spread out. And that is those 7 years of talking it out with her, being with her. And that is the thing about that show that I take the most from, of like, oh, we all are a team.
Wow.
And it's cool. Well, let's go back to the show.
Yeah.
No, I can't. But
not
can't.
The other show.
So what's going on? Where is your co-star?
Hey, should we get to a speak pipe?
So we'll get to a speak pipe really quick before I start sweating. This next question on our speak pipe is from Mary Grace. And that's all I've got.
I love two first names.
Hey, Josh and Ben, OG Toaster and massive OG moron here. Calling in to ask about gifting etiquette for a Jewish naming ceremony. So one of my best friends is having a Jewish naming ceremony at the same time as a first birthday party for her daughter, and wondering if there's etiquette of whether I should bring a gift or not as somebody who is not Jewish. Would love your input because I really want to make this a special moment. And if I gotta show up with two gifts, then I'm gonna show up with two gifts. So anyways, love the pod and thanks in advance. Bye.
Ben, what's a Jewish naming service?
You're talking to the biggest Jew ever, and this isn't a thing. I mean, unless maybe she's talking about like boys have brises, girls get names by not having genital mutilation.
Fair. Right?
So maybe that's like what they're talking about. Then she said it's also a first birthday. So you're telling me that this child hasn't been named until they're one?
That's wild.
It's just an unnamed baby? I'm very confused by the question. I want to give great advice, but I really don't understand.
Just bring some Humintash.
Bring some Humintash.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Josh, do we have another?
Yeah, that's this woman made up a holiday, and we can't have that. This one's from Allie.
Hey, Josh and Ben, moron Allie here. I have a question. I live in Germany, and I've been here for 4.5 years, and I need to get the hell out. But Germany just passed a law that says you can get your citizenship in 5 years. And not that I'm like dying to be German, but it would be kind of nice to have an EU passport. So what do you think? Do I like hold out and apply for this citizenship, which could then take like, you know, an extra 6 months of bureaucracy? Or do I throw in the towel like I've been so wanting to do for the past couple months? Let me know. Love you guys.
Wow. She's been in Germany for 4.5 months, doesn't like it, and is contemplating
she's been there for 4 years.
Yeah.
Oh, she's been there for
she
4.5 years and is contemplating should she be there for 5 more months?
Yes.
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 That's far better. I thought she was insane.
The question you heard would be madness.
Yeah. I was like, what? Yeah, you should stay. You put in the time.
Agreed.
And like,
absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, I became a UK citizen for that EU, and then they did Brexit. You get the EU passport.
100%.
A lot of luxury there.
Is there?
But yeah.
What about taxes? You gotta pay European tax. They love those taxes.
Yeah, they give you a lot, though.
Wait,
you get
a
lot.
Do you have to pay tax if she moves back here? She doesn't have to pay taxes.
You have to maintain some sort of...
I don't think she'll have to pay. I don't, as a UK citizen, I can tell you I do nothing.
Yeah.
Really?
You just
have it. And they're lucky to have me.
And if you need a procedure done, something medical, will you fly to the UK for it, for free healthcare?
Let me tell you, there is a thing going on in the UK where the healthcare is not as, it's
free. Why don't
you
tell the story about your mother?
Yes.
A little bit of USA, here we go.
Yeah, my mother needed to get her hip replaced. And she was in the NHS system. The NHS is very helpful for a lot of stuff. You would, the best thing to do would be to get a merger of the two. Great healthcare for free. But my mother was in the pipe for her hip replacement, and she was in, like, extreme pain. And they were like, well, it'll just be, like, 7 months. And she was like, she couldn't do that, so we had to get her over here, where she also has health insurance, and get it replaced here. And then she was, like, a robotic woman within a week.
USA all the way?
Fuck yeah. And not all the way.
Jake, don't put the flag in the sand. We won here.
Look at Jake.
We fucking got a replacement.
Maverick Johnson.
USA.
Not applying to your beautiful mother, but we're so good at replacements here.
Thanks for saying beautiful, because it is factual.
I heard she's a babe. You mentioned that when I was on the podcast.
Do I get to edit this at all, or this is all you that gets? Because I would cut this out for sure.
But we in America, we're so good with, let's be honest, the overweight who constantly need things replaced.
Yes.
That we're sawing off knees and hips left and right.
It's easy mode.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
All right, last question from a male moron, Matthew Feldman. Full name.
Hey, guys. Fellow mensch, 25-year-old straight male. It hurt my feelings a couple weeks ago when you said only 10% of us were out there, but I think by 2025 there will be 50% of us.
Of our fan base.
I think you guys are hilarious. Straight make my week every true? Week. But nonetheless, I am a moron, an incompetent one, and I'm in a predicament with my friend. Every time we hang out, he laughs in my face and calls me a fat fuck. And he just keeps on laughing in my face and calling me a fat fuck, and he repeats it. He's a bit of a narcissist. He keeps on saying how great I am. But he's also extremely ugly. He's losing his hair. And as much as I follow Michelle Obama, when they go low, you go high. I do want to do the same thing back.
Who
and I'm not
star?
Sure to make fun of his ugly face or his receding hairline.
Wow.
Give me your thoughts. Thanks.
Boys,
I like it. Well, he started off so sweet. You were like,
I need a picture.
Same. The
I
thoughts of this guy are, do you want a reality show?
Because
you're a star.
I need to see this 300-pound man and his friend with a receding hairline.
This one's easy. New friend.
I love the way that he was like, look, he's been really rude, and he's a piece of shit with a receding hairline who doesn't deserve oxygen, but he's coming at me.
Yeah,
I don't understand why you would stay in that friendship.
But he said, should I go, his final question was, should I make fun of his receding hairline or his big ugly face?
Oh, so the specific what do I go after?
Yeah.
I mean,
the question was not,
every arrow in the quiver.
Receding hairline.
Yeah, that hurts.
It hurts. Once the hair starts to go, it's the beginning phases of your dying.
Yeah.
Jake is obsessed with this.
Ugly face really hits home, though.
Yeah.
Ugly face is
I
tough.
Would do both. Like,
well, you got a full head of hair, my guy.
That's just, you're not seeing the top.
You're not seeing the top either.
I also have a gorgeous face, so that's the thing. But the ugly face is tough because no matter, he's making fun of him for being fat.
I would do both.
Be fat and have a beautiful face.
Yeah.
Ugly is ugly.
Yeah.
What would you go with?
I would make fun of his big, ugly face. I would just say, you are a fucking, that face is the worst. I would go into a dark place.
You can do that. I think it's a Churchill line where you go, I can lose the weight, but your face will always be disgusting.
Yes. And then you drink a half a pint of whiskey, which I heard Churchill did every day.
Then you drink gin and eat bacon in the bathtub.
Could you imagine?
Was he Fresca? Didn't he have a Fresca machine in his office or no?
Churchill?
I don't know.
No, not Churchill. Just move on.
No, so, I like to.
I miss her.
I like to picture that.
Did Churchill love sun-kissed?
Little fuzzy.
Grab me another Capri Sun.
Little fuzzy. All right, so our final bit of the show is we do our What Are You Nuts moment of the week. It's your gripes with people, places, and things, small or big, anything that's been sticking in your craw, annoying you. There's no bad answer. Ben and I will go first. You guys can have a second to formulate your What Are You Nuts. Ben?
Okay. My What Are You Nuts is, do you guys have Easy Pass in California?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So I'm driving. It's a nice car for sure. But I'm going from New York to, we're with your listeners too. I drive a nice Range Rover. Going from New York to New Jersey. go into New York, I have absolutely no problem. I'm going through New Jersey Easy Pass. First one, I have my Easy Pass out. It says, can't read, no Easy Pass. Get to my second one, can't read, no Easy Pass. I call when I get home. I got two tickets in the mail. They were each for $25, $150 in fees. Ugh. So you're looking at whatever, $400, quick math, or $350. And I said, of course, like the bill is annoying, but why isn't my Easy Pass working in New Jersey? It works in New York. What's the problem? Apparently, the thickness of my car doesn't read on the signals in New Jersey. So if you have a Range Rover or if you have a thick windshield, your Easy Pass in New York won't read. And all I have to say is, New Jersey, what are you nuts? Mm. What are you nuts? I have to now, whenever I drive to New Jersey, take my Easy Pass, put it through the sunroof.
Mm. Oh, that's a nice
move. Hold it out through the sunroof while I go through, because otherwise I'm going to get charged $25 plus $150 in fees.
Stop being poor, Jersey.
That's a nice move, though. Yeah. I like holding
Adjust
it out.
It.
That's a Larry David move.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I do. Hand out. Yeah. You have no choice.
That's the right move.
My what are you nuts is I get my hair cut by the lovely Tina. Not saying anything more because I don't want people to book her up. Sure. She's wonderful.
Okay.
Tina's pissed at not the official shout out.
Yeah.
Fine. Valentina on Broadway.
Oh, I just booked her.
She's the best. She's great. I love her.
She's swamp.
Never gave me a discount. And so I've sent so many people. So recently she brought her cute little 8-pound dog who's old to work. She's cutting people's hair. It's asleep. It's wearing a sweater. This dog, not looking for trouble. Old, sweet. So I go to leave. And I go, I'm going to say goodbye to your dog. She's watching this. I go to get down to just put my hand down to give him a quick pet. He mauls my foot, bites through my shoe, breaks skin.
Really?
Okay. And she goes, and what are you, nuts? Don't bring a crazy dog to work. You cut nice people's hair who want to give him a little affection. And this fucker, it was beyond. What are you, nuts?
What happened?
Nothing. She texts me after. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm not going to sue you, Tina. It's okay.
I would like a free haircut one of these days.
Yeah,
10% off. Yeah.
Good Lord. Jake, you want to what are you nuts first? You want me to go?
Sure. The parking one, that one made me think. I was in Pasadena and I did one of those passport parking where you can pay your parking thing on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Put my fucking driver's license in, did the code, did all that, and I got a ticket. But I did the passport parking.
Yeah.
So I had proof. So I contacted the city and they said that is an independent company.
Oh my Lord.
And they don't work with us. So I then contacted the company and I said, so what happens here? And they say, we don't work for the city. If they gave a ticket, you need to dispute. This is just an independent company that does this. So yes, you have records from us, but we did not issue you that ticket. And I go, in what fucking world is this?
Why'd you use it?
You said, I did it.
It's a great business.
But I was like, I had the sign. The sign said pay here. I couldn't even put money in. And they go, there's nothing we could do. And the city said, there's nothing you could do. And I was like, oh, this is fucking, you guys are gangsters.
Yeah.
You guys are fraud.
Did you say, what are you nuts?
What are you nuts?
There we go. Nice. I travel a lot and I have to book a lot of flights. And I've been taking it on the chin for a long time with the fees. And the fees add up. And when you book a flight, it starts at one price and you're like, oh, that's pretty good. And then slowly as you're adding it, the fees now are out of control. And you have to book when you buy a ticket, you're not sure if you're going to get a bag on or not. But then you book your ticket. Then you have to decide if you want to insure your ticket, which should be the airline's job. So you have to pay like another $50. So you're looking at like $400, $500. And then when it's all said and done, it's like $650. And then on top of that, in order to book your seat, you have to pay more money to decide if you want a decent seat on a plane. So the fee, what they're actually charging you is like $500. And then it ends up being like $700. And by the way, keep in mind that the sides of planes are actually falling off at this point. So I would say
shout
to the airline
Boeing.
Industry and Boeing, what are you nuts?
Wow, 737 MAX.
Yeah.
You know, my old man used to have a car dealership. Mm-hmm. And he said, you don't make money off the car. The numbers are the numbers. You make money at the last second after you've negotiated for an hour and a half and they won. They fucking beat you, right? So you're like, hey, 11-5, you're fucking killing me on this Cavalier, but good for you. They're ready to sign. Right before they sign, you go, you want to wax on those tires, yeah? And they go, huh?
Yeah.
You want to protect the tires? This is optional. Do it or don't do it. I don't care. But we can put a wax on it. It's $125, but it's a 6-month guarantee on the tires.
Yeah,
do that. And then they go, you want a wax to cover the paint on the outside? Yeah, yeah, nay. Check here. What's that? All right, you got a paint job on your car, but if a fucking kid kicks it or a ball hits it, it's going to scratch, but you get this wax, it's going to protect it. It's an 18-month warranty. Take it or leave it. You don't have to do it. And they go, well, yeah, I would like to do that. And they go, that's $399. Okay, do you want this? This is protecting the inside. You don't have to do it. You want to do it? And then he goes, you all of a sudden get 25 to 3 grand worth of stuff. And he goes, this is $100 worth of stuff, Jake. It's wax. He goes, I get one of my guys in 2 minutes. He waxes the fucking tires, waxes the outside. Hey, congratulations. And I went, is that true? He goes, you make all your money in the last minute, but let them win before.
That's very true.
And I was
true.
Like, oh, that's wonderful. And I had that same with airlines where I'm like, my entire family's going to Phoenix for $300?
Yeah.
And then you go, 1850.
What the hell?
What did I do here?
Yeah.
Of course I want to sit near the fire exit.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you for coming
on
the podcast.
Thank you.
Check out, we're going to link the pod in our notes, all that good stuff.
We'll do the same. Thank you.
It's been great.
Thank you for having
Ben?
Me.
Ben?
Both pods, we're here to help. Good guys, both 5 stars. If you don't give it 5 stars, what are you nuts?
Yeah, what
listen
are you
to
nuts?
Us both Spotify, Apple, YouTube. Are you guys video?
Video?
Yeah, we just started.
Catch their beautiful video with their gorgeous faces that I can't see because I'm remote. But thank you guys so much for coming and looking forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it, guys.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.